Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Richview Church. My name's Tyler. I'm the associate pastor here, and I'm just really glad that you're tuning in to our services. Pastor Ed and I were discussing, you know, what do we need in this particular season of the church's life? And 2020 has been really hard for a lot of us. We've been going through some emotional things, partly due to COVID for many of us, but I'm sure there are many things that are going on in your life and in my life as well. And we thought that what we need in this season is to be affected in our thinking, in our emotions, in our feelings by the Psalms. So this summer, we are going to be going through the Psalms. We've called this series Summer in the Psalms, where God is going to help us in our thinking and our feeling with God. I just want to give you some background information on the book of Psalms, because it's a very unique book. It's a collection of 150 songs. That's what the word psalm means. It means song. And these 150 songs were compiled to be the songbook of God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament. So people would come together and they would sing these psalms in groups, in congregations. And so what we are looking at in the book of Psalms is ancient Hebrew poetry. And although it's translated from Hebrew into English, so we don't get as much of the rhyme and meter that might have been present in the original, we still can get the meaning and the poetry from these beautiful songs. So the book of Psalms is God's word put to poetry. And the Psalms are an amazing book. Here's why. The entire Bible is God's word to us. God speaks to us through the Bible, through the scriptures. But the Psalms, while it is still God's word to us, it's also, and this is great, it's also our words back to God. You see, the Psalms give us a vocabulary of speaking with God, how to communicate with God, how to pray to God, how to talk with the Lord Almighty. Because whether or not you are a believer, you might at some point in your life have thought, you know, how can I speak with the transcendent God of the universe? How are you supposed to communicate with that kind of God? And the answer is, look in the Psalms. In the Psalms, we are given a vocabulary to communicate with God. The way that we should, the way that we ought to communicate with God is found in the Psalms. And this is remarkably freeing, because as you read through the Psalms, and in fact, if you've been in our church-wide Bible plan, you've been reading through the Psalms, we just finished. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see that every emotion in the human lexicon of emotions is represented there. Nothing is missed out. Nothing is left out in the Psalms when it comes to human emotion. In the Psalms, you're going to see everything from loneliness, love, awe, sorrow, regret, contrition, discouragement, turmoil, shame, exaltation, marveling, delight, joy, gladness, envy, fear, anger, peace, grief, desire, hope, brokenheartedness, shame, gratitude, zeal, pain, confidence. It's all there. Everything that we've ever felt in our lives, for the most part, is present in the Psalms. So the Psalms give us this legitimate voice to be our true selves to God. You see, we often think in church circles that, you know, to be in a right relationship with God or to come to church, we've got to turn that frown upside down. We've got to make it look like we've got everything all together, that our emotions are perfectly in check. But the Psalms reject that completely. They tell us that we can be human. We can be our genuine selves. We can show our full humanity to our God. In fact, it's not honoring to go to God with just a face on, just pretending to be all the things that we think that God wants from us. No, we can bring our genuinely true emotional selves to God, and the Psalms give us a vocabulary for that. So on the one hand, we can legitimately express our emotions, and yet, on the other hand, the Psalms will take our raw emotions wherever we're at and will go through a journey with us such that we will end up in a more God-glorifying place in the end. Many of these psalms start off with feelings of regret or loneliness, anger, all these negative emotions, and they give us a voice for those things, but then the psalms will allow us to journey through those emotions and we'll end up in a more oriented place at the end, a more God-centered place where we can process our emotions. So that's what these psalms do. They both give us a legitimate voice to express our emotions to God, and they will shape our emotions and shape our feelings for the better. And that's why I've called this first sermon, Influencers. We're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 1, and in Psalm chapter 1, we're going to see that influencers have a huge importance on our lives. Now, you may have heard this term, influencers, a little bit in our culture. It's a bit of a buzzword. There are many young people, in fact, who think that they want to be influencers. In fact, it's one of the most sought-after occupation of young people, to be an influencer. There are Instagram influencers and Twitter influencers and mommy blog influencers. It's just these people with huge followings, 1,000 followers, 10,000 followers, even millions of followers. And these people, they get paid because, well, if they even mention a product, or if they're seen wearing a product, or if they just have something in the background of their videos, people will pay big sponsorship dollars for those influencers to endorse their product. And these people are so influential that people watching will use those products. They have incredible sway, incredible influence over their audiences. Now, if you're like me, and you see all of these influencers in the world, whether they're celebrities or politicians or on YouTube or whatever, if you're like me, you think, you know what? Yeah, I see all these influencers, but they don't affect me. I take care of myself. I've got control over what I want to do and what I want to think and what I want to believe. All these influencers out there, they have no effect on me. They can't pass on their beliefs, their ideas, their behaviors in me. I'm immune to that. But I think that fails to take into consideration that there are actually many levels at which people can influence us. The first level is the most obvious. It's direct influence. It's the influence that perhaps a politician has on someone. They come up and tell you, hey, you should think this. Hey, you should do this. That's direct influence. They just tell you what you ought to think and do. Now, that method doesn't really work much in our culture. We're very skeptical of authority. We don't really like being told what to do or how to think. And so direct influence doesn't work all that well. But there's also indirect influence. And this is more the influence that happens between friends. You're sitting down, you're having coffee, you're talking about life, and your friend will say what they think, or what they would do, or what they believe. And that kind of rubs off on you, and you can either take what they say or leave it. That's indirect influence. But there's even another level of influence that is so pervasive in our culture, and it's this. It's subliminal influence. Subliminal influence, you can't even really put your finger on it. It's like when you see a celebrity that you're attracted to for one reason or another, and their values and their words and their beliefs kind of, by osmosis, seep into you. You look at attractive people in society, and what they say and what they believe and how they act go from your eyes to your heart. No one told you to live that way. No one told you to act that way or speak that way. But it happens by accident, really. It happens through osmosis, slowly but surely. We are all very susceptible to subliminal influence. In fact, many of us are completely infected by subliminal influence, and we don't even know it. We completely mirror the culture around us. And the strange thing is, these three levels of influence actually build on each other. When you get kind of overwhelmed by all of the subliminal influence around us, we become more open to indirect influence. And once we're open to that, we suddenly become more open to direct influence, just taking orders from the culture. These levels of influence can really have an effect on us. Now, why am I talking about all these things having to do with influence? Well, it's because we don't think about our influencers all that much. And Psalm chapter 1 is going to teach us that we really need to start paying attention to who we're paying attention to. So why don't we look at this first psalm, and after I read this entire psalm, we're going to double back, and I'm going to show you what this psalm teaches us and how it can affect our lives. So here's what Psalm 1 says. I'm just going to read it all the way through. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. What we're going to see in this psalm is a pathway that our influencers take us on. First, our attention leads to influence. Then influence leads to character. And finally, character leads to destiny. That's the pathway that Psalm chapter 1 is going to take us on. So here's the first one. Attention leads to influence. Who we pay attention to, who our eyes are on, who we are hearing, that will lead to who influences our lives. And we need to start paying attention to who we pay attention to. This is what the first two verses say. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I want you to notice something interesting here. These first two verses aren't telling us to do right or wrong things. That's actually true. Obviously, you should do right things and not do wrong things. That's a thing that the Bible would certainly teach. But these two verses aren't talking about that. It's not talking about doing right or wrong things. It's talking about paying attention to right or wrong influences. Do you see that? It's talking about paying attention to either the law of the Lord, God himself, the love of Christ, the community of faith. We can pay attention to these influences, or we can pay attention to the wicked, the way that sinners take, the company of mockers. It's telling us to pay attention to who we're paying attention to. And I want to draw attention to the first verse. There's a person that's just imagined here, and this person at one point is simply walking in step with the wicked. That's how it starts. The person's simply walking in step with the wicked. Perhaps they're just walking down the same path together. Perhaps it was completely accidental, and they're just walking together, and they're bouncing ideas off them, and maybe that's an evidence of some subliminal influence that's happening between them. But then, later on, the person is standing in the way that sinners take. So it's no longer by accident. At one point, they were just walking near each other, but now they're intentionally meeting together, perhaps exchanging ideas. And then suddenly, the person is sitting in the company of mockers. So at one point, they were just maybe at arm's length walking together, but slowly but surely, this person is getting sucked into the inner circle, into the family of mockers. And perhaps this person is even joining in with the mockery as well. Maybe this person didn't even realize this was happening. At first, it was innocent, but then it became very dangerous. Perhaps the person didn't notice, but suddenly they found themselves in places they didn't themselves want to go. So we can either pay attention to those influences or the influences that God has for us, the law of the Lord, Scripture, the community of faith. Who we pay attention to is extremely important. There's a pathway here between a person and the wicked, and we can get sucked in if we're not careful. We see here that attention leads to influence. And whether we intend it or not, whether we know it or not, who we sit under is who we become. We become who we sit under. We become who we pay attention to, whether we know it or not. And this is very dangerous if we're not paying attention, right? Because if we're getting caught up in the wrong influences, we'll find ourselves in the wrong company. But this is also, and this is the flip side of this, this is the also so powerful. Because if we do recognize that our that where we pay attention to is who our influencers are, then we can take back who we want to become and pay attention to the right influencers such that we will be growing in our character. So how can this challenge us? And here's just a few things that I would just suggest that you do. Ask yourself, Who are your influencers? This is a question we almost never ask ourselves, but really, who are the influencers in your life? What's your relationship with Netflix like right now? What's your relationship with your cell phone right now, or Twitter, or politics, or the news, or celebrity culture, or online culture, or whatever it is that is going on in your life? What's your relationship with these things? Are you having a good effect on these relationships, or are these things having its effect on you? In your peer group, are you able to be a positive influence on the ones around you, or do you find yourselves being sucked in slowly but surely into the company of mockers? Perhaps you don't notice it, but it's happening little by little. We need to pay attention to who we're paying attention to, because if we don't, we'll find ourselves in places we don't want to be. So who is it that is your influencers? And this is so important because, as I said, who we pay attention to determines who our influencers are, and who our influencers are will determine our character. Influence leads to character. Those who influence us will determine who we turn out to be. And that's what the next two verses will talk about in Psalm chapter 1. So here we go. Verse 3 and 4, it says this. That person who is meditating on the law of the Lord, that person who is paying attention to the right things, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. These verses are telling us that our influencers will determine whether or not we become more, well, tree-like or more chaff-like in our character. Now, you know what a tree is, obviously, but chaff is something that we don't deal with perhaps as often. Chaff is like the husks of corn or the throwaway bits of grain. It's the useless leftovers that you're left with and you just throw them away. So metaphorically speaking, the psalm writer is saying our influencers will determine whether or not we become more tree-like or everything that a tree is not, which is chaff. Chaff and tree are like opposite ends of the spectrum. For instance, trees yield its fruit in season. Trees are productive. Trees are able to help others. Trees hold protection for people. Trees can house animals. Trees are very helpful to the community. Chaff? Not so much. Chaff doesn't really help anyone. It's just good for throwing out. A tree is planted by streams of water. It absorbs nutrients. It absorbs good things. It will listen to others and use those for its life. Chaff? No, chaff's not interested in absorbing anything. It's just dead. It's not worried about absorbing any water. And the tree's leaf does not wither. It stands firm, whereas chaff, as it says in verse 4, it gets blown away by the wind, whereas a tree is rooted deeply. In other words, our influencers will tell us whether or not we are becoming more tree-like, more courageous, more responsible, more productive, more helpful, more loving. Whereas sometimes our influencers can take us in the opposite direction, where we can become more weak-willed, less responsible, less helpful, less productive for our communities. Our influencers will determine whether or not we go in this direction or that direction. And by the way, you already know that this is true because you've seen it. You've seen it, haven't you? You've seen it in people in your friend group. You've seen it in your family. You've seen people who've gotten so caught up in a way of thinking or so caught up in the wrong crowd that you've seen them turn more chaff-like in their character. You've seen that. But you've also seen the opposite. You've also seen people who get in the right crowd and get the right influences, and suddenly they get built up in their character, and they become more tree-like. You've seen this. You know this is true. The only mistake we make is assuming that it's not happening to ourselves. It is. The influencers are having the same effect on us, and we need to pay attention to that. Because really, we can, in some sense, choose our character when we choose our influences. We become who we sit under. So we need to take seriously who we are paying attention to, because that leads to influence and that leads to character. Here's just an example. How do you think your character will be affected if one of your influencers is porn? How do you think that's going to work in your character if one of the things that you pay close attention to is pornography? Is that going to make you a better husband or wife? Is that going to elevate your view of sex or of the opposite sex or of family or of marriage? No. Pornography is going to make you more chaff-like and less tree-like. We need to surround ourselves with people who are examples of marital faithfulness, of self-control, such that we will, well, rub off on them, or they will rub off on us, I should say, and that we will grow in our character. We need those influences in our lives. We need God, we need Christ, we need His Word, and we need His community in our lives. And one of the ways that Richview Church seeks to make sure that everyone who's involved at Richview can have these influences in their life is through community groups. Community groups are small groups of people who gather together in groups of maybe 8 or 10, sometimes more, sometimes less. And these people come together, pray for one another, spend time with one another, do life together, and they read scripture, study scripture, pray, and encourage each other. They're meant to be good influencers on one another and encourage each other to be more tree-like and less chaff-like. So there's going to be a button that shows up in the chat, and it's going to take you to a page where you can sign up for a community group or at least get more information. You can do that right during the sermon. I won't be offended. You can do that right now. Click on that button, go to that page, and even if you don't know exactly what you want to get out of a community group, we'd be glad to follow up with you. We want you to be part of a community that influences you in a positive direction, such that we become more like trees and less like chaff. Okay, why don't you do that? And thank you to all of those who do host groups. I know many of the groups are still meeting over Zoom and such over the summer. So thank you to all those who are watching. Okay, why is it so important that we have a positive character? Why is it so important we become more tree-like and less chaff-like? And that's what the last two verses are going to tell us. Sure, attention leads to influence. Influence leads to character. But here's the main thing. Character leads to destiny. Who we become will show us where we will end up, both in life and in eternal life as well. We know that our character has something to do with where we will end up in this life, for sure. If we have an upstanding character, people will want us to be part of their teams. People will want to be friends with us. We'll have a wider group of social interactions. It's just good news to have a good character. That has an effect on this life, of course. But it also has an effect in eternity as well. Take a look at what the last two verses of this psalm say. Verse 5 and 6 says this. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The psalm finishes by telling us that what our character is going to determine how it'll turn out in the end. In the end, God is going to judge all people based on His perfect standard of righteousness. He expects perfection, complete holiness. And all of us in some way, you, me, all of us are in the company of mockers. All of us in some way, whether in big ways or small ways, are sinners. We find ourselves again and again in the company of mockers. I find myself all of a sudden perhaps gossiping when I know I shouldn't, or saying something mean about someone when I know I shouldn't. I just find myself in the company of mockers from time to time. And God says that the company of mockers will not stand in the judgment. Now, that's really tough to take. Here's the question that I want to ask each of you. How do you know that you are not like that chaff? How do you know? Because this psalmist imagines us, has us imagine that, you know, there's this handful of chaff, but it gets blown away by the wind. And God's justice, His judgment, His righteousness is like a tornado ripping through a field. That chaff has no chance. So how can we have roots that grow deep? How can we know that God's judgment will pass over us? How do we know that we are not in the company of mockers, but instead in the company of the righteous? How do we know that? This is how we know. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 4. Take a look at what it says. Jesus said this, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Remember that analogy of the tree? That tree was next to a river, some running water. And for believers, that running water is the ministry of Christ. Jesus is our influencer. Jesus is the number one person who we need to pay attention to. We need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That because he went to that cross, the penalty for our sins is canceled. And when we experience that, when we experience that undeserved, wonderful mercy from God, when we experience that, we will be so influenced, we will be so affected by the love of Christ that we will change in our character more and more in conformity to him. Our number one influencer needs to be Christ, what he did on the cross. We need to be affected by what he did in his great mercy, in his great love. Because of Christ, the tornado of God's justice will not have any effect on us. We will stand firm, rooted in Christ, because of what he did for us on the cross. So, we've looked through the entire pathway. Attention leads to influence. Influence leads to character. And character leads to destiny. If I were to summarize this entire psalm, I would put it this way. For better or worse, your influencers shape your destiny. For better or worse, whether you intend it to or not, who you are paying attention to has a monumentous effect on where you will head both in this life and in eternal life as well. So we need to really start paying attention to who we are paying attention to. For many of you at home and many of us in this room, for many of us, the reason why we're having the problems and issues we're having in life is because we're paying attention to the wrong influences. We have people in our lives that are taking us down the wrong path, relationally, spiritually, financially, emotionally. We're listening to voices that aren't coming from God, aren't coming from Scripture, aren't coming from the community of faith. And what we need to do is redirect our attention so that we can get the right influences, so that we will be built up in our character, such that we will know our God better. Psalm 1 is obviously the first of 150 Psalms, and it really sets the tone for the rest of the book. Psalm 1 invites us to make sure that our number one influence is the Psalms, is the Scriptures, is God. And if we can't say amen to Psalm 1, then the rest of the Psalms will really be of little use to us. In fact, all of Scripture will be of no use to us. So I'm hoping that you at home and everyone here, I'm hoping that we will each make this commitment this summer and even for the rest of our lives, that we will walk in the way of, stand in the way of, and sit in the company of the Scriptures, of God, of Christ, and the community of believers. Why don't I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we need you first and foremost to influence our lives. On our own, we're going nowhere good, and we're going there fast. So Lord, I pray that you would help us by the work of your Holy Spirit to influence our lives, infect our hearts such that we will be changed more for your glory, so that we will become more like Jesus, that we will become more tree-like, less chaff-like. So Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us on the cross. And Lord, thank you that is so wonderful, so great, that it changes us from the inside out. O Holy Spirit, would you help us to follow you wherever you might lead us this summer and for the rest of our lives. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.